Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast. So, Old Testament prophets talked about supernatural things, what God was going to do, often gave a consequence. If you turn to God, you'll be blessed. If you don't, you'll be cursed. In the Old Testament, most prophecies had an if. If you obey, it's going to be good. If you don't, it's going to be bad. New Testament prophets, a lot different. 1 Corinthians 14, it says in New Testament, prophecy is to edify, to exhort or encourage and comfort. So a little different perspective, and there are New Testament prophets. In fact, Friday night, Caleb has been bringing in two young men who are very prophetic, and it's been awesome to see them minister to our young adults, and many young adults coming on Fridays because of this prophetic ministry. So if you're 18 to 25, you should be there. But Old Testament prophets were pretty radical. They were definitely over the top type of personalities. Caleb talked to you about Isaiah last week. I'm going to talk to you about Elijah this week. Elijah is one of the best known prophets in the Old Testament and brought some of the best known Bible miracles or best known miracles that are in the Bible. Did you know that Elijah met with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration? Right? So Jesus goes up the mountain. He takes Peter, James, and John. When they get up there, he's praying, and then a cloud overtakes them, and then two men appear in the cloud, Elijah and Moses. Pretty amazing. Talk with Jesus for a while. So Elijah, very special, a very profound ministry. James in the New Testament also says this about Elijah. He was a man like us. He had emotions, he had passions, he was like us. But when he prayed, miracles happened. So that's an interesting perspective. He had ups and downs like we do, but God heard his prayer like God hears ours. So Elijah, an amazing man. We're going to start in 1 Kings chapter 17. And he's not introduced with a lot of description or fanfare. It just says, Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, who was the king over Israel at that time, as the God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. So here's our intro to Elijah. He's speaking to the political corruption of the day. Ahab was an ungodly, corrupt, and wicked king. He's speaking to the cultural sin of the day. People were turning to Baal, a false god, a false religion, rejecting the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Elijah speaks to Ahab and says, there will not be rain till I say there's rain, and it didn't rain until he said it, which was about 3 years. And of course, in an agrarian society, an agricultural society, that's bad, right? No crops, animals are dying, no water, it's bad. And it was a prophetic curse on the people because they rejected God. You know, we often say, I wish I could talk to a prophet, or I wish a prophet would come to our church. Do you want a prophet? Because it can get radical, you know. It's kind of like saying we want revival. I want a revival. We want revival, Lord. Do you really want revival? Because if you really get revival, maybe your whole family gets saved. Then they want to come to your house every night for life group. Now you got to take care of them. Do you want that? You want revival? If you have revival, we're having church all the time. And we're saying, let's go. Let's bring people. People are getting saved. People are getting healed. It's a revival. Do you really want that? You might not be ready for that. Right? A lot of times we ask for stuff that we're not ready for. So the prophets they brought change. They brought the message from God, and oftentimes it was not good because the people were not serving God. So he brings the challenge, and it goes dry. Now, Elijah had to live in that place where there was no rain, no water, a drought. So God speaks to him and he says, all right, I want you to go to the brook Cherith and I'm going to have a raven bring you food. What? You know, prophets, crazy stuff. Like John the Baptist, he lives on locusts and wears camel hide. He's a freaky dude. He stayed away from people because he was not good with people. So Elijah is living by a brook, which was one that still had a little bit of water. And a raven in 1 Kings 17, the raven in verse 8 brings him bread and meat in the morning, verse 6, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. That's weird. What raven is delivering food? Now, I don't know if we have ravens around here, but we have crows, and they have never delivered anything. They steal stuff. They'll take your kitty. They'll mess up your yard. They'll dig stuff. They're not nice. They're full of the devil. I curse them all the time. I curse you crows. But the raven is bringing Elijah bread and meat, basically a sandwich. Right. In the morning and in the evening. Sort of like a hamburger? Is it like a lamb burger? Where did he get the meat? Where did he get the bread? And I can understand the first couple of days he could steal it and they didn't know. But I'm pretty sure people, whoever was making the bread and whoever was cooking the meat, figured out, wait, don't put it on the windowsill. That raven will steal it. But maybe God spoke to them and said, no, put it out. The raven's come and he's taking it to the, I don't know. But there's some crazy stuff going on. So after a while, the brook dries up. Now, this is a great lesson for us because we all have things that God gave us, but after a while, they dry up. The raven stopped bringing him happy meals, and the brook dried up. And you've been there where God gave you a job and then you got fired from that job. Or God gave you a relationship or something and then it went away. Or God opened a door and good things were happening and you thought this was going to be the way it went for the rest of your life. And then it stopped. And most of us are not good with change. We get frustrated. We get scared. We're like, the brook dried up. Why'd you let that happen, Lord? Why did you give me this job and now they've let me go? Well, maybe God's trying to get you a better job. Maybe God's trying to get you to a better place. Because something dried up doesn't mean God left you. It just means time for something new. And we all say we want God to do new things in our life, but usually when he does, we cry. We're sad. We're depressed. We're at the bar. I don't know what I'm going to do. How about get a better job? How about make more money? How about let's move up? You've been living on ravens, bringing you happy meals. Not very hard to move up from there, right? And many of us, and by the way, some of you complain about your job every day. You complain about the schedule. You complain about the traffic. You complain about your boss. You complain about the people and every day. And then when they fire you, you're crying that they fired you. You should be like, thank you, Father. Thank you for firing me. Thank you for preparing me for something better. Where am I going now, Lord? I am ready for something better. Amen. Don't be complaining about your job and then crying when they fire you. Right? So the brook dried up and God speaks to Elijah and he says, okay, chapter 17, verse 8, the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, dwell there. I have commanded a widow to provide for you. Okay, well, I wasn't really expecting that, Lord. How about you got a rich widow, a rich single gal to provide for me, or a rich guy to provide? No, a poor widow to provide for you. Well, okay, I'm moving up from ravens. Not very far, but I'm going up. So he goes to Zarephath. He sees this widow. She's picking up sticks to make a fire for her and her son. And in 1 Kings 17, he says, bring me a cup of water. So she says, okay. She goes, well, now water's hard to get. Water's pretty valuable in a drought, but she doesn't hesitate. She goes, maybe she knew he was a prophet, and she's on the way to get him some water. And he says, wait, make me a cake also. So she stops. She says, Mr. Prophet, you should know that my son and I have one small bit of flour and a small amount of oil, and I am preparing to cook our last cupcake, and we will eat it and die. Now, this is not a faith person that's prepared to help you. This is a poor person who feels like they are coming to their end. And this is the one God said, I've prepared a widow to care for you. Well, is she prepared? Didn't seem like it. But the prophet said to her, don't fear. I'm in verse 13, 1 Kings 17. Don't fear. Go and do as you have said and make me a small cake first. Now, how do you suppose that would play in the media? Prophet comes to town, finds a homeless widow and her son, and demands a cake first. He wants to eat before she eats or the little boy eats. I mean, the world would love that, right? They would be all over that. And it seems strange because the Bible said God prepared a widow to care for you. But she didn't seem that prepared. She's stuck in her own problem and in her own circumstances, and she says, we're going to eat our last cake and die. He said, well, make me a cake first and bring me a cup of water. She does it. So she did have some kind of faith. You know, sometimes you feel like you're on your last and you don't know what you're going to do and you're struggling in the circumstances of life, but you actually do have faith. You got more strength than you know that you have. And you're not done yet. And God had said something to this woman because she went and made a cake and gave it to the prophet. And then the Bible said, the bin of flour shall not be used up. The jar of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord brings rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household. Now, all the cousins started coming over. Aunts and uncles started coming over. Relatives you didn't even know you had heard that you won the lottery. All of a sudden, they're coming over. Her household ate for many days. The flour was not used up and the oil did not run dry. So most think it was over a year that they lived on this little bit of flour and this little bit of oil, and God did a miracle. Wendy said earlier in our offering time, give, according to Luke chapter 6, verse 38, and it will be given unto you. But how many of us can do that, can give first, or serve first, or love first, or forgive first? Because the prophet said, make me a cake first. And she did it, and then the miracle was on. Sometimes you have to be the first to forgive, the first to love, the first to share, the first to be generous, and then the miracle is on. But man, it's hard to be the first when everything around you looks bad and you just don't see any way that it could work. So remember what the prophet said, make me a cake first. And then she was taken care of. And her and her son ate, had food all year. The whole household had food all year. So the prophet challenges, but also brings the provision. So another miracle happened. The little boy got sick, which is another story of God will bring you things, but it doesn't mean it's always easy. The little boy died. I don't want to take time to read the scriptures, but you should look at it here in 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18. And then the woman says to the prophet Elijah, why did you give me a son and now he's died? Well, the prophet came over, raised his son from the dead. A miracle. But the ups and downs of serving God, trusting God, believing God, man, it can be hard sometimes, right? And you and I have to be ready to handle the good time and the not so good time, because walking with God doesn't mean everything's nice and everything's easy. Okay, I want to keep moving because I only have one Sunday to talk about this whole life of the prophet Elijah. In chapter 18, starting at verse 20, Elijah faces the sin of his culture and the leadership of his nation. And you and I face that, maybe not as directly as he did, but we all feel that influence of a culture that doesn't believe in Jesus and political leadership that doesn't seem good. So we must be ready and able to fight against what is politically correct and culturally popular. Now, this is a weird thing, because when I was a kid, it was cool to rebel against the system. But nowadays, kids, young people, basically flow with the system. It's crazy to me. I'm like, bro, don't you want to rebel? Nah, I'm just on my phone here. Don't want to do anything. Don't you want to fight Rage Against the Machine? Remember that band? We had a band called Rage Against the Machine. No, it's fine. I'm just going with the flow. It's a it's a thing when people become accepting of an ungodly political world and an ungodly culture. They just go with it, right? Well, on social media, I saw it on TikTok, so I think it's true. Really? You believe that trash? TikTok is your source of information? Facebook is where you find your friends? That's a cultural problem. That's a people just floating downstream. And remember this, any dead fish can float downstream. You better fight. And if it's popular, it's probably not godly. So you better be able to resist. If it's, the big deal on social media, it's probably not godly. You better be able to fight. Well, I just want to get along. Yeah, well, Christians don't just get along. We're light in darkness. We're salt in the earth. We fight against what is not good or not God. You have to have something in you that says, God is more real to me than the socialist or the communist or what's popular or what's politically correct. So Elijah goes to Ahab, who's an ungodly. He's the king of God's people, Israel. But he's ungodly, and the nation is turning away from God. And Elijah challenges them. And he asks them this question in verse 21. How long will you falter between two opinions? Really interesting question. How long will you falter, is the old English word, between two opinions? Now, many people, in fact, I would say probably over half the Christians in our world today live between two opinions. Here's what I mean. They're Christians, they believe in God, they believe the Bible, but they also want the world to like them and kind of compromise so they can get along with the world. So that causes them to do things like this. Well, I believe the Bible, but I think you should have a choice on what gender you think you are. But wait, God said, I created you, I formed you in your mother's womb, I know you, I have a plan and a purpose for you. So I don't pick who I am, what I am. I don't pick my own pronouns. By the way, if I did, I'd go by they. Which is, Russell, that's a little weird. They? You like more than one person? You like multiple people? Okay, well, that's another issue. Right, so we falter between two opinions. I'm a Christian, but I think you should pick your own gender. Or like this, I'm a Christian, but if you want to have an abortion, I think you should be free to have. But wait, God in the Bible said, I formed you in your mother's womb. I knew you in your mother's womb. So now we can kill a child that God created and that God knows? That's okay? And by the way, now culture keeps moving, so now we can kill the baby and we can kill an old person. Because cities, states, they're approving suicide for people who don't feel like living anymore. Pretty scary. What if we as a community start deciding who should live? That's just the next step. So now we get to pick. Because what are you doing? You're not helping. You're not adding any. So we're just going to get rid of you because you're just taking up space and breathing our air. Right? So this is what happens when you don't stand for God and stand for the Bible and stand for what you believe and fight for what is good and what is godly. You just get in this situation where you falter between two opinions. So the prophet says, okay, here's what we're going to do. These people had started worshiping Baal, this false god, this false idea. By the way, Baal caused them to sacrifice their children, abortions, and all of that was part of the worship of Baal, and cutting themselves, part of the worship of Baal. Remember, the gods of this world will always lead you to self-destructive behavior. So this is where they were, and they were following Baal. So Elijah says, so you do your Baal thing all day, and let's see if he answers by fire. And if Baal answers by fire, then we're going to follow Baal. However, this evening, I'm going to make a sacrifice to God. And if he answers by fire, then you got to decide. You got to pick. You got to make a choice. Do you serve God or not? So people say, great, that's great. So they put their sacrifice on the altar and they began crying out to Baal. And the Bible said they went all day. And Elijah started mocking them. You should read the story. Have you ever read the Bible? It's an amazing idea. I know it, most of you won't do it, but if you did, you would read some crazy stuff and some funny stuff. So in 1 Kings 18, starting at verse 20, Elijah starts mocking them. He's like, hey guys, shout louder because Baal might be hard of hearing. He might be in the next room. You got to shout louder so your God can hear you. And then he said, hey, don't give up because he's probably been away. He should be back anytime. Right? So he's just making fun of them. And they're cutting themselves. The Bible said they were cutting themselves. Right? This is the spirits of the devil. This is the spirits of the world. And some of you have been caught in that self-abusive behavior, destructive behavior. That's the spirit of the world. That's never God. So Elijah is challenging them to decide who you gonna follow. So it comes to the evening, and Elijah says, okay, y'all have been going all, I listened to you pray and chant and cry out to Baal all day long. Now I'm up. So they put the bull on the altar, the sacrifice, and he says, pour water on it. They just dump water, gallons and gallons of water all over the sacrifice. And then Elijah prayed, Father, you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the only God, and we pray you will answer by fire. Amen. Boom, fire comes, laps up. The Bible said he laps up all the water, and the fire of God consumed all the sacrifice. And then Elijah took the drastic next step and killed all the prophets of Baal. Oh, thank God we don't live in the Old Testament, right? New Testament's cool. We love you. You crazy, but we love you. Old Testament, we kill you. And they killed all the prophets of Baal, which I think was around 430 people. Killed them all. So the message is, you got to decide. And a lot of us, we want to float. Oh yeah, I believe in God. I got Jesus on my car. But I also want a party, and I want two or three girlfriends and four or five boyfriends. And you know, I'm fluid. I like that word. You fluid. I'm fluid in my gender. I'm fluid in my faith. I'm fluid with my people. Fluid. Today you're my wife. Tomorrow I'm not sure. I mean, it's our world, isn't it? It's normal. But you and I are not normal. We've decided. I have decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. Right? Now, so Elijah is, wow, calling down fire, killing all the prophets of Baal. I mean, Elijah, what kind of a person was he? What kind of personality did he have? What kind of guts? This brother, he's out there. Well, Ahab, the wicked king, had a wife named Jezebel. You ever heard of Jezebel? Not a whole lot of girls named Jezebel nowadays, because Jezebel was not a good person. Jezebel was as evil as they come. Unjust, unfair, wicked, immoral, crazy. She was crazy immoral. And Jezebel, after Elijah killed the prophets of Baal, said, I'm going to kill Elijah. Well, I mean, Elijah has been through a lot. And God has taken care of Elijah, the brook, the raven, the widow, the fire. I mean, you want to go after Elijah? But this is Jezebel. She's crazy. And Elijah freaked out. Now, this is a weird part of the story. Elijah was so down after the defeat of the prophets of Baal, he just ran away. What's the point of that part of the story? Humans. It's the human problem. We all have a bad day. One day you're trusting God, you're telling the truth, you're working hard. The next day you freaking crazy. What happened? He's schizophrenic. Actually, he's a human. So some of us have more bad days than others, but we've all had those days where we're not sure, where we question, where we wonder, where we're down. You know, one day you're texting all your friends, thinking of you, love you. The next day, I don't have no friends. Nobody cares. Nobody ever texts me. Right? We've all been there. So Elijah is down. You know, there's a life lesson on the day of your greatest victory. Be ready on the next day, because you may have a real depression. Happens a lot. David had won all these battles against the Philistines. Then he stayed home from the battle and slept in late and looked out from his bedroom and saw Bathsheba. The next thing you know, he's in an affair. He's killing her husband. He's bringing a curse on his family, on his children, even on Israel. After some of our greatest victories, there's that emotional letdown. And you had the baby, then there's the postpartum. You got the job, you got the raise, and then you're out partying a little too much, drinking a little too much, whatever it is. So Elijah defeats the prophets of Baal, fire out of heaven. Now he's scared of Jezebel. So he's just running. He thinks he's Forrest Gump. He's just running. Why are you running? I'm just running. And then he said, Lord, take my life. He got so down, he got suicidal. How can you go from being a prophet that brings the power of God to being suicidal? Humans. Humanity. It's the human problem. It's the spirit versus the flesh. It's the renewing the mind thing. It's a human issue. So don't be shocked when you find yourself in that negative spot, but don't let that define you. You got to know God. It's going to give you a way out. God's going to bring you back. God's going to be there. He's not going to give up on you. By the way, don't start getting tattoos when you're down, because you only get dumb stuff and it's hard to get rid of them. In other words, the point is, don't make those big decisions when you're down. Get back to your point of strength. Get back to your faith. Get back to your confidence and make decisions when you're up, staying strong, and let those down days go away. So he went a day's journey in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 4. And he came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. And he said, "It's enough now, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my father's." Well, you just had the raven and the widow and the miracles, and you raised up the child, and you challenged the prophets of Baal and the political evil and the fire. What do you mean, take my life, right? Sometimes we just lose our judgment. We I'm stupid. I got nothing. You got so much. You got people that care. You got a church. You got opportunity. You're living in the greatest place of the world. But when you get dark, it's like everything goes bad. One of our sons, when they were younger, they were having a bad day. And Wendy said something. And they said, "I don't even know why I'm alive." Well, you're only 7. And you're going to be okay. Right? But you just get into that human place. And Elijah was there. So he sits down under the tree. And what do you think happens? An angel shows up. And the angel cooks him a cake. He went from ravens bringing happy meals, widows cooking for him, and now an angel. I mean, he's moving up. Getting to the Michelin 5-star. And he ran from Jezebel for 40 days on the strength of that angel food. Now, here's an interesting thought. A lot of you, when I get to heaven, I hope they have this food, that food, right? And we all have our little thing. I hope they have ice cream. And I hope, Wendy said, I hope they have popcorn. I'm like, really? Popcorn? Is that a thing? Right? But anyway, when you get to heaven, you want a certain food. I don't know what kind of food is going to be there, but whatever it is, you're not going to need it very often, because you're going to go for days on the energy of that angelic food. And he ran for 40 days and 40 nights. It's like, bruh, you've been depressed long enough. Stop running. Some of you have been running from God, or running from relationship, or running from responsibility, or running from things that you know God put in your life to do. You've been running long enough. You need to stop. So Elijah comes to a cave on the Mount of God, Mount Horeb, Mount Carmel. He comes into this cave. And that's symbolic, right? We all get in that dark place. It's dark. We're alone. We feel bad. Leave me alone. Don't talk to me. Right? I'm in my own world. So the Lord says, okay, Elijah, why are you here? Now we're in 1 Kings chapter 19. Why are you here? Now, when God asks you a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. It's because you don't know the answer. Remember God said to Adam, "Where are you?" Well, God knew where Adam was, but Adam didn't know where Adam was. Like, bruh, what's up? God says to Elijah, "What are you doing here?" Elijah said, I've served God and I'm the only one. And God said, "No, I got 7,000 people who are faithful to me." Next time you say you're the only one, you need that should be your sign. Okay, there's a lot of people been through what I've been through. And it could be really bad. I mean, the worst things I can think of, the loss of a child, loss of family members. It's tragic. But a lot of people have been through it, and a lot of godly people have been through it. So you're not the only one, and you're not alone. We may not have been through what you've been through, but we're here for you. We'll pray for you. We'll believe with you. We'll stand with you. And life groups and prayer groups and all the things that we're talking about all the time are for you. So sometimes we feel like no one knows what I'm going through. But we all know on some level, and we all want to help. So Elijah is in this cave, and God says, "Why are you here?" So then the Lord sends a wind. The Bible said it's a strong wind. And it rent the rocks, tore the rocks off the mountain. But God was not in the wind. And then God sent an earthquake. And the whole mountain shook. But God was not in the earthquake. And then the Lord sent a fire, but God was not in the fire. Finally, the Lord sent a still small voice. And Elijah heard that quiet whisper. And he said, "There's God." And he wrapped his face in his mantle or in his robe, and he went out and stood on the mountain. Outside, he got outside of his cave. Someday you got to get out of your depression or out of your anger or out of your victimhood or out of your excuses. You're going to have to come out if you want God's help. You can't stay, right? You can't stay in your negative emotions and negative thoughts if you want God's help. So Elijah came out of the cave, and the still small voice spoke to him. And God said, "Here's what's going to happen in your last years." And God set him up for the rest of his life. You're going to anoint Elisha, and you're going to speak this to the king, and you're going to do this for your nation, and you're going to continue your ministry, and then you'll go to heaven. And so he wasn't done. It wasn't over. Even though he was so negative and he just got suicidal, God said, "Bruh, stop. Let's go on with what I planned for you." And that's what God says to some of us when we get down and we get dark. Come out of your cave, listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm out of time, but I got to give you the last story of his life. So he anoints Elisha. We'll talk about Elisha next week. And he talks about, Elisha says, I want to be like you. And I want your spirit. In fact, I want a double portion of your spirit. So Elijah says, if you watch me go into heaven, you'll get a double portion. So Elisha would not leave him. And he tried to ditch him. He tried to trick, "Hey, go over there, take care of something for me." "Nope, I'm not leaving you." He stayed right with him for days. Well, and then finally, it came. A chariot of fire and two horses of fire. It says in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9, "Suddenly, a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated Elisha and Elijah. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." Man, I got to see that on video when I get to heaven. Horses of fire. So apparently there's horses in heaven. And chariots of fire got to be better than a Harley, right? I mean, Harleys are cool, but okay. And it just came out, and Elisha jumped on and a whirlwind into heaven. Now, the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die. So humanity, every person will die. Jesus will receive you, absent from the body, present with the Lord. So we're all going to die. But we know there's two men in the Bible who didn't die. You know who they are? Obviously, one's Elisha, because he's just hanging out with, Elijah hanging out with Elisha, and then he just goes to heaven. But he didn't die. And he met with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. So he's around. And then there's this guy named Enoch in the first couple chapters of Genesis. And the Bible said Enoch was a godly man, and he walked with God and was not. Like, man, I want to see that. Just be walking with God. And he got old. He was in his 900s. Some of you whining, you're 37. He was old. And he walked with God and was not. He just walked into the spirit realm. Now in Revelation, it says two prophets will come and confront the world. They'll be live, CNN, NBC, whatever, all of them. And the prophets will confront the evil of the world, and they'll confront the Antichrist, who's taken over a certain amount of the world, not all, but some. And the Antichrist will kill them and leave their bodies lying in the street of Jerusalem. Read the book of Revelation. I told you, read the Bible. It's amazing. It's got some crazy stuff in there. So imagine two bodies left lying in the street, dead, satellite feed, cameras, everything's on. Every day you can check in and see they're still lying there for days. And then they both rise from the dead. Who's two guys who didn't die? Enoch and Elijah. They might be two guys ready to take on the Antichrist and prophesy to the world and die in the streets of Jerusalem, because it is appointed unto men once to die. That'd be the first time those two died. And then they come back and said, and I was saying, whoa, that's going to be fun. I mean, I'd rather see it from heaven than here. I'd rather be out. But either way, it's going to be an amazing grand finale. So which side will you be on? The godly side or the worldly side? Are you able to stand against the culture and the politics and what's accepted and what's normal, and people call you weird? Or are you just going to go with the flow and worship Baal because it's popular? That's the choice. So I want to serve God and obey God and live for God. Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.